Morning all, Friday, May 26, Big Sports Breakfast, Sky Sports Radio. A very good morning to you wherever and however you're listening. If you are just tuning in, last night it was the Dolphins making it 7 wins from 12 matches this season. They're at the halfway point of their season and they're on 16 competition points, 26-12 over the Dragons there at Redcliffe. And tonight it is Parramatta up against the North Queensland Cowboys. And we've got the Aussie cricket team leaving for the UK today. At least the players who aren't already over there ahead of the World Test Championship final, which is in just 12 days, in fact. Then the Ashes, of course, not too long after that. Now, Carlton and the Swans tonight at the SCG, crucial match this for both clubs who've underperformed, you'd have to say, so far this season. And the Swans have Tom Hickey back for Peter Laddams, who unfortunately got injured. The Blues have dumped Jack Silvani, Ed Curnow and Lewis Young. So this is 12th v 11th. Big match at the SCG. The Swans slide outsiders with Tab $2.15. The Blues $1.70. Also, Geelong GWS, the Saturday twilight fixture this week. And Geelong, a hot favourites at $1.10. GWS $7. 40.5 the line for this one. But a significant occasion for Toby Green, Loz. What a player he's been. He's had his moments, certainly at the tribunal and suspensions. Some hot-headed moments, you'd say. But what a player he is. Plays his 200th. And he's the first draftee at that club to reach 200 games and only the second player to play 200 games at GWS behind Callum Ward.
He's one of my favourites of all time, Toby. I love the way he plays. I know he's got his critics, but he's a winner. He competes. He leads that side so well. I don't know much about him personally. But he just looks like he's a player that everyone would love to play with. He leads by his actions. And I think if he was playing in a more high-profile side, I think we'd be giving him more raps. The fact that he's playing with the Giants, they haven't had success over the last couple of years, he just hasn't stood out. But I think he's a wonderful player. I think he's a really highly competitive person. His best footy is still in front of him. And if he hangs in there at the Western Sydney, Greater Western Sydney, I think they can have some success. I think Adam Kingsley, in his first year, is doing a terrific job. They've had a lot of injury worries. If they can, get some good players into the future, the draft works well for them. Some of their young blokes kick. Hopefully, the Giants can have a bit of success, and I'd love to see them have success for Toby Green.
4-1 this morning, Manchester United have beaten Chelsea, and Shire Raz says, have fun in the Europa League next season, Middo. Come on, United. And Adam Pengilly, he'll be up and about as well. He's joining us now. Morning, Adam. How are you?
You're like you're reading a eulogy, Middo, when you read out that score.
Well, it's just... you know what? Chelsea are a disgrace. They have been... abysmal. They may as well be relegated. Seriously, that's how bad they've been.
Well, who owns them now? Have they got money?
Relegated.
Look at the funds this club has. They're sitting 12th with 43 points after 37 games. They're a disgrace.
Who owns them now?
Okay, so go and buy a Champions League. You get abused for that as well.
Yep.
How dare you go and buy? Oh, they just won because they bought it.
I didn't even show fight. I didn't even want to be there.
The season's gone, mate.
Take that jersey off. Hand your jersey back. You don't deserve it.
Filthy club. Anyway. State of Origin next Wednesday. New South Wales still favourites. What are the odds, Lawrence?
What are the odds?
What?
$2.25.
Listen, what is wrong with you today? Lawrence. He's taken the piss out of both of us. Something is in his drink at the moment.
Friday, mate.
Mate, he got sarcasm right on the end of his tongue all day today.
Every dog has his day.
Mate.
What
about that little stab as well?
You've just got to wait your time. That's all.
What about that little stab?
All's fair. In love and war. All's fair.
Mate.
Play on.
Who are favourites?
Queensland.
You're confusing yourself.
Queensland are not favourites.
Queensland are favourites. I was waiting for him to buy.
Okay, now you're definitely confusing me.
I was waiting for the big fella to buy.
You think they should be, though, don't you?
No. I don't think they're favourites. They're $2.25 outside. It's $1.67 Blues. They are favourites. They are absolutely moral.
Who's winning, Adam?
Where's this market going to correct itself, Loz?
Like, well, I've been saying that for the last couple of weeks, mate, and it hasn't.
The gap is just too big for mine. Like, I'm not saying that New South Wales can't win game one, and not even they shouldn't start favourites, but I think there's still a little bit of juice in the lemon for Queensland at $2.25, you would have thought. So, I think as close we get to game time, I think the market should correct itself a little bit, and that gap between the two should come a little bit closer. But, yeah, like, fascinating to see how this plays. Now, going to Adelaide is going to be fascinating as well, Loz, because we've been down there once before. I actually covered that game in Adelaide. When was that? In 2020, a few years ago. And it was a strange series, given the fact that it was at the end of the year. They played three games back-to-back, and it was the first game of the series. It was a COVID year, obviously. But I've never seen a flatter atmosphere for a State of Origin game than that game a few years ago in Adelaide. They just didn't seem like they could get into it. I'm not quite sure if they understood it, to be honest. But there just didn't seem to be a lot of intensity about it. And if you remember the game correctly as well, Loz, I think New South Wales started pretty well and had a comfortable lead at half-time. And then Queensland sort of just sucker punched and went bang, bang in the second half, got in front, and that was pretty much the end of the game. It was a really strange circumstance. So I think both sides have picked pretty good teams from what I've seen so far. I think they're very evenly matched. I know there's been a lot of talk about New South Wales and the aggression they're going to bring with Tevita Pangai Jr. and Hudson Young. They've just got to be careful not to step over the line. So I think the first 20 minutes will be a traditional softening up period, and then we'll get into it and get down to business after that.
Last night, the Dragons beaten 26-12 by the Dolphins, who had some, Anthony Milford played really well. Jeremy Marshall-King, Jermaine Asako, a double. Fallout from that match, what do you think? And I guess all focus still is on the Dragons' next coach as well, and whether Jason Riles will be locked in.
Well, if you're Jason Riles watching that game last night, Mido, what are you thinking? Are you thinking this is a team that you can turn around or not?
I need a new roster, or at least a lot of new players.
I thought that performance last night just spoke to what the Dragons have been about for a few years now. Obviously, a fantastic win against the Roosters last week in dramatic circumstances. And then, again, and I've been banging on about this for a couple of years now, when they find a bit of adversity in the middle of a game, they just cannot turn it around. I think the Dolphins scored tries in three consecutive sets there in the first half yesterday, and the Dragons started pretty well, but they just went bang, 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 and it was almost as a case that it was almost game over. Like, they just cannot handle changing momentum when it goes against them. And then, obviously, Jack DiBella went to that Simbin for that tackle, whether it was a right call or not. Listen, I'm not going to bag the bunker for that decision. I think it was a bad tackle. Penalty might have been sufficient, but it was an illegal tackle, and he put himself in that position. But again, they can see the try straight away off the first set after he goes to the Simbin. So they just can't seem to correct any momentum. And they did get themselves back into the game briefly there just before half-time. But that second half, the Dolphins, you felt were in control for most of the game. Some of that online defence, or on-goal defence, was extremely ordinary from the Dragons last night. So you're just seeing little flashes of what their guys can produce. There's just no consistency whatsoever. And one thing I think they desperately need is some leadership. They need some leadership. They need to go out and buy a guy who's going to set some standards and maintain that culture around the club. And one story that probably hasn't been told a whole lot in the last couple of years is how close they came to getting Dal Finucane a couple of years ago before he went to the Sharks. And he would have been a perfect guy for that club, absolutely perfect. But in the end, he went to the Sharks, and obviously both those clubs are heading in different directions at the moment.
Yeah, and they had Cam McInnes. Yeah. He was a leader.
Exactly, Jared. He was the guy who set the standards of that club, and they sort of mucked around with his contract there, and they said to him, go and scout your options. And Cam is a man's man, right? He said, listen, I want to get this sorted before the start of the season. And said, if you've got an offer, send me one. Otherwise, I'm going to try and take up something else. And he did. So yeah, I don't know, Loz. I think they definitely need some more experience and hard heads in that roster.
What about the Dolphins? They recruited some hard heads, and their performances this season have been magnificent.
Egg on face for me, Loz, firmly. I predicted them to come last at the start of the year. I just couldn't see where the depth was going to be in their roster if they had a couple of injuries. But they have been an absolute revelation this year. They've been fantastic. And it goes to say that Wayne and Peter O'Sullivan can build a roster around some really old, experienced forwards in the Bromwich brothers, Felice Kaufusi, obviously, Mark Nichols, and then worry about the rest after that. And they've done an enormous job. And I don't know, do you think they can make the finals from here? Like,
yes.
It's a big call. It's a big call. But
yeah, I think they can. They don't have to win. What, they've won seven games. I reckon if you win half your games this year, you're a big chance of playing finals football. 24 games. So they need to win, what's that? Five more games.
Yeah.
Adam, does that not give someone like Jason Riles confidence? I know he's not Wayne Bennett, but the fact that surely the Dragons' stock is as good, if not better, than the Dolphins' stock in regards to player talent.
Yeah, you speak to a lot of people sort of surrounding the club, Clarkie, and they want to tell you they've got a really good crop of young juniors coming through, sort of around that 17, 18, 19-year-old mark at the moment, potentially could be ready to play first grade within 2 or 3 years. Now, Jason Riles will be doing his homework on that club and understand what's coming through the system and whether it's right to take on a gig like that. But the Dragons haven't really converted a lot of young kids into regular first graders for a number of years now. I think it's been the biggest problem, hasn't it, really? Like, the pathways just seem to be breaking down between that younger age group into maturing into really good and consistent first graders. And even you look at this young crop we've been talking about for a couple of years now, your Sloans, your Sullivans, your Monets. Like, can anyone say, hand on heart right now, that those guys are going to be really good first graders in 5 years' time? Like, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if you can absolutely say that right now. We've seen flashes of brilliance from all three of them, but can they do that repeatedly and consistently? That's the question, I suppose.
Are we heading to Vegas?
Oh, I think we're getting closer, Loz. I think we're getting closer. I think there's a few things to work out at the moment, and definitely Andrew Abdo and Peter Valene's been working on that behind the scenes. They need to sort of, I suppose, find a few commercial partners in terms of airlines and naming rights and some to make the funds work a little bit easier. But I've actually written a story in the Herald today that they're actually considering taking Canberra Raiders over there, if not the first year, potentially the second year. You're just given the play on words with a name with the Las Vegas Raiders in the NFL. It might be a good way for them to pitch to the American market and the locals, saying, well, listen, you've got guys who've got the Raiders play football over here. We've got our Raiders that play football. Come and watch them. So I know they put a phone call into the Raiders this week to sort of gauge their interest, whether they're keen to head over there. I still think, obviously, your Souths and your Manlys will be front and centre about which teams go next year, if it does go ahead. There's no doubt a couple of other heavyweight clubs like the Roosters, the Broncos and the Storm have also indicated interest. So, yeah, we've still got a little bit to play out, but I think as each day passes by, we're getting a little bit closer to ticking that off and making that a reality next year.
Okay, do you like anything tomorrow? Loz's multi, by the way, which is open on the Tab app and website. He likes Methusalem to run top three in the first at Randwick. And then in the Fred Best competitive race with Yellow Brick, the favourite, Loz is with Hawaii 5-0, which smashed them in the Hawkesbury Guineas to run top two, and that's paying $6. What about yourself, Adam? What have you got for us?
Race 8, number 2, Titanium Power, the best value on the program for me, Mido. I thought his first two runs back this campaign have been pretty good. I didn't mind his run in Alaskan Star last start behind Opal Ridge and Gravina. A really fast run race. I'm just hoping that form will stand up. Bit of a tricky draw for Zach Lloyd, but he's got enough speed to maybe overcome that. So that's race 8, number 2, Titanium Power, to give a really bold sight at an each-way price.
Okay, it's $5.50 the field, that race. Titanium Power, race 8, number 2, $8 to win, $2.70 the place. Have a great weekend, mate.
See you, boys. We'll chat on Monday.
Adam Pengilly there. Michael Maxworthy coming up shortly. Deliciously flaky pastry on top of bottom, which is rolled extra thin, a filling of 100% lean Aussie beef. I'm talking about Garlo's Pies, the only pies you should be putting on your plate. Garlo's Pies are simply bursting with flavour, and there's heaps of flavours to choose from. And here's a thought, take a night off from cooking and grab a Garlo's family pie for the whole crew. They're available in all Coles and Woolworths stores. And remember, we are located in the chilled meals section. If you can't find us, just ask for Garlo's Pies by name. Garlo's Pies, they're thin on pastry, they're big on meat. Great to be back at Eagle Farm tomorrow ahead of, well, it is the Stradbroke in a couple of weeks' time. Queensland Derby and Kingsford Smith Cup, though, there tomorrow. And Michael Maxworthy will be there for Sky Racing. Morning, Maxie. How are you?
I'm fired up, Jared. Can't wait for tomorrow to come around. Yeah, great day, Derby Day. We've got Kovalika for Chris Waller and James McDonald, the hot favourite at $1.70. And it's a good quality Derby this year. I think a lot more depth than last year. We've also got Promises Kept here and the strong finishing Aberfeldy Boy. But Kovalika does look a standout on that terrific run in the Doomben Cup last Saturday. The Fred Best is going to be a key race because it's the last opportunity for some of these talented three-year-olds to leapfrog into the Stradbroke in a fortnight's time. It's like, for me, you know, New South Wales versus Queensland. The Queenslander with Yellow Brick, just the favourite at 260 over the New South Wales Gallop for Hawaii 5-0 at 340. So there's a stack of highlights at Eagle Farm tomorrow.
All right, which way are you going to go, Max? Are you going to stay loyal or are you going to jump on my bandwagon? Because we're coming up here to get your cash.
Yeah. Always a good horse, Hawaii 5-0. He had a gallop on the course proper on Tuesday morning with Converge. I thought Converge had the edge slightly on him, but he's a big-going, bold galloper, and he was great at Hawkesbury. But, Loz, I'm going to side with Yellow Brick. He's just got a super will to win this horse. And I think he's going to sit handy, and he's just got a repeat what he did last start at the sunny coast when he was obliged to race wide there, and just when we thought he might be out of petrol tickets because he was first up, he slipped up into another gear like a top-class race or so. In the Fred Best, I'm just going to side with Yellow Brick over Hawaii 5-0.
In the Group 1, so we mentioned Kovalika is short, $5 the field in the Kingsford Smith Cup. So what way are we leaning in both those, Maxie?
Yeah, the Kingsford Smith Cup, we're going to see the Stradbroke favourite, Joe Pride, think about it. He's a beautiful four-year-old that's coming through the ranks beautifully. He's ticked off the Group 3 in the Liverpool City Cup and then the listed in the takeover target. But this is another level altogether, up to Wait for Age Group 1. So it'll be very interesting to see how he performs. I'm sure he's going to perform well. I'm going to side with Converge. He loves Eagle Farm. That's a big tick. And I think he's been specifically set for this and the Stradbroke. They eased him up during the autumn in Sydney. I loved his recent barrier trial at Hawkesbury. He looked great in that course proper gallop on Tuesday. So I'm going to side with him. I think Tab have got Converge around about $11 for the Kingston Smith Cup.
What about the size produce, mate?
Well, it's a terrific race, a capacity field of two-year-olds that will head towards the Group 1 for J.J. Atkins. I like a lot of them here, but I'm just going to stick with Snap Back. I liked him at Gosford on Cup Day there, and he ran third behind Chrysaor. Chrysaor is one of the favourites for this race tomorrow, and he had the revs up Chrysaor around that tight turn in Gosford track, and Snap Back had to basically stop down. He was picking up speed at the 250, and he was hard on heels, so he had to stop on him around heels, and he actually really charged through the line. The barrier is horrendous. I don't know where he's going to get to in the run, but I want to stick with him and happy to play Snapback. Race 6, number 11, for Team Snowden. Mark Zara up from Melbourne to ride him at the $11.
Your best bet or two, Maxie?
Going to go with Waterhouse Spot in Race 3. This is over 2,400. The Epsom Derby winner, Serpentine. We saw the best of him here on Australian soil a few weeks ago when he's first up, controlling the tempo and winning. I think the key to that, more than anything else, is getting onto a dry track. That's what he relishes, and he's going to get that tomorrow. So I'm hoping that Tim Clark takes him straight to the lead, and he gets the cash for us nice and early. Race 3, number 3, Serpentine.
$3.50 with Tab there in the Premier's Cup. The Group 3 over the 2,400. Race 3, number 3, Maxie's best. You have a great day trackside, mate.
Okay. Thank you, fellas. Have a good weekend.
English Premier League this morning, and Manchester United sealed a spot in the Champions League next season with a 4-1 win against hapless Chelsea. So we're down to just one game left for each club. The final day of the season, early hours of Monday morning, and Mossy will be with us later this morning to go through that. In fact, Mossy will be with us very soon in about 5 minutes to talk about the final day of the Premier League season. But United are through to the Champions League 4-1. They beat Chelsea at Old Trafford this morning. Now, game 5 in the Eastern Conference Finals between the Boston Celtics and Miami Heat. Back in Boston after the Celtics avoided a sweep in game 4 in Miami. They're hot favourites, $1.34. 8.5-point favourites at the line with Tab. Miami, $3.40 as they look to seal a spot in the NBA Finals against the Denver Nuggets if they can win this match this morning. The Charles Schwab Challenge on the PGA Tour. At the top of the leaderboard and leading by 3 strokes is Englishman Harry Hall, who shot an 8-under-62. Aussies not seeing any in the top 20. Cam Davis is there 2-under through 14, and Minwoo Lee's 2-under through 12. So they're both tied for 21st early days in that tournament. The Charles Schwab at the Colonial in Fort Worth in Texas there. Mossy coming up. Then after Mossy, we've got Brad Davidson. We'll get his mail for tomorrow. And he's already in the house. Mm. The great Steve Blocker.
He's up and about too. The Block and Grapple is with us.
Yeah,
the beer,
his new ale. He'll tell us all about it.
Looks good. Good looking cans.
It is a good looking can.
Yeah, I like it.
It's got the
front row lager, they reckon.
Mm. I'm keen to taste it, but I don't want to taste it at 8:20 in the morning.
Hasn't stopped you before. Just pretend it's an airport.
Well, I know. Yeah, well, I should pretend. If it's an airport, I would. There's no rules when you get to an airport.
None.
I love getting... I'll tell you what, I do love an airport when you're going away on holidays. Because you don't care what time of the day it is. You're just having one. You're just sitting down and away you go.
And Blocker is, you know, great to see him in a lot of those old ads with the great Tina Turner.
Yeah, he was there front and centre.
He was front
and
centre.
With his great mate, the Buttocks, Paul Sirenin. Mm. So I'm looking forward to talking to Block about Tina Turner because he would have spent a bit of time with her when they were doing that filming. And, yeah, it's just brought back great memories yesterday. Didn't it? You know, I remember my middle daughter yesterday. She was watching it, and sort of the first time she'd sort of seen
some of those ads,
you know.
Yeah.
And she just goes, "Well, why don't they use that?" Well, that was a reaction.
There you go. That says
she's
it all.
24.
That says it all. How timeless that promo, and that's why it's so good.
Yeah. She's like, "Oh wow, that's great. Why don't they use that now?" And you could do it easily, I'd say. You know, putting those younger, like the players of today.
You could use, that's what I'm saying. You could use the exact same commercial, exact same song, just change the people in it to the current player, and it would be just as successful. Tina Turner, she was unbelievable.
I must say yesterday, every time I heard those two songs, I was tapping away.
Oh. Mate, you should have heard my car rocking as I was driving home.
Car on the way home.
Oh, mate, I was going for it.
Yeah, it's amazing. Amazing. And 83 years of age.
Yeah, and she's got plenty of crackers as well. It wasn't like she only had two great songs.
No, that's exactly
plenty
right.
Plenty of crackers. When you go through, I think, what did I type in yesterday? I went...
Private Dancer.
No, I did Tina Turner Greatest Hits.
Oh, yeah.
So it was on shuffle as I was driving. Oh, and, mate, there was like, I don't know, 6 or 7 songs coming. You go, I forgot about that.
She's a
mate, what a beauty.
Well, you do forget about her, how her career had stalled.
Yeah.
And then it just took off when Roger Davis was a manager of Australian.
I think is it A Current Affair? Last night, Ali Langdon did a thing on her and tried, obviously in a short period of time, but tried to condense and tell the story. And just sitting there watching it, it was...
Yeah.
Again, she hit rock bottom.
Aussie
manager took over.
Yeah, 50 that she started to kick and become a...
She was playing in the RSLs back in Australia. Like, went absolutely broke.
Yep.
Unbelievable.
Do you reckon a few people bought tickets to the musical yesterday?
Oh, mate.
I did.
I haven't yet, but I hear, I want to go see it for sure.
Yep.
Who are you taking?
Oh, Michelle.
Yeah.
You're looking at me. I thought you were going to invite me there. I'll come with you. I'll come.
Oh, it might be your daughter or...
No, but I told Michelle I was going to do it. That inspired me to do it.
You've still got it. You've still got it, don't you?
Well, I've got to find things to do because the kids are sort of moving away.
They're a nice buffer for you, are they?
Yeah.
Get you out of some trouble.
No, they don't get me out of trouble. I don't get into trouble.
No.
I'll look forward to seeing it. And I've heard great reviews about it. And I think you're right, Mitter. I think there'll be a lot of people doing what I did yesterday, going out and booking a ticket to go and see it.
Very good morning. Mossy, how are you?
I'm not too bad. I was running with the zombies this morning, Mitter. I had to catch an early bus into the city to be here in time to do this radio segment. So it was good fun.
Oh, we appreciate your dedication. I'll tell you what, you're more dedicated than Chelsea Football Club. What a disgrace they've been this season, Mossy, and Manchester United winning 4-1 this morning.
Yeah, I think probably disgrace, diabolical. All the words to describe anything but success can be attributed to Chelsea this year. They've been so disappointing. I feel for their their supporters because the boardroom have got it horribly wrong. Not just with obviously their recruitment, but obviously, you know, what's happening in the hot seat, the manager's seat throughout the season. So they've got a massive, massive rebuild over the off season. And look, they're a massive club, obviously. So I've got no doubt they'll find their way back. But this has been, one of the worst seasons in the history of the Premier League.
Righto, Mossy. Let's talk about Ange because there's talk overnight that he's been linked to Tottenham. Is that just talk, or do you reckon they are seriously considering him?
It's rinse and repeat, Loz, isn't it? Yeah. Every time there's a roll up for grabs. Look, we've spoken about Spurs before because Scott Money's now there in charge of football, and he was the CEO, if you remember, of Melbourne City. So There's an obvious link there because Ange is part of the City Football Group that took him to Japan and then had a link to get him to Celtic as well through relations on the board at Celtic to the City Football Group. So, you know, where there's smoke, there's no doubt fire. But I did see a speech that Ange made outside Celtic offices to thousands of supporters when they clinched the league the other day. And, you know, he was very bullish about... he didn't say I'm staying, but he was very bullish about the future at Celtic and what they wanted to achieve, you know, in the Champions League and things like that. So he's talking like he's going nowhere, but we all know that money talks and projects talk when it comes to him. So it's going to be intriguing to see what happens.
Mossy, and I certainly don't want to be disrespectful to Ange here, but Tottenham, a club that give younger managers an opportunity, or do they go the recycled manager or look for managers from other leagues? Because while Ange's had success here in Australia, Japan and Scotland, how do the big clubs look at that?
Yeah, it's a great question, Loz. A bit of both for Spurs, to be honest. Like, if you think about Pochettino when he first got there, you know, he wasn't a huge name in football terms, but they've also had Antonio Conte, who's a huge name. So, you know, their recent history suggests they could go either way. But, look, Ange's CV, the only thing missing from Ange's CV is a playing career at the very top level in European terms, because he's done everything, winning an Asian Cup, going to a World Cup, winning the Scottish Premiership, winning the J-League, winning many titles here in Australia. So really, if you look at his CV from a management point of view, that's the only thing missing from it. And really, we know that playing and coaching are two totally different crafts. Mm. So I've got no doubt he's got the skills and the CV and the experience now to take on a club like the Spurs.
Mossy, that's what I was going to ask. Yeah, 100% coaching and playing is different, but playing at the highest level, it's nearly like you get street cred. It's nearly like the players can go, well, you've sat in my shoes, you understand the feeling, you know what I'm going through. Is that the perception or the reality, I should say, over there as well? Because I feel, particularly here in Australia, we're like that. I think we much prefer someone that has played at the highest level that can understand it, or certainly at a high level, before we endorse them as a coach.
Yeah, I think that's definitely true in the early stages of your managerial career, Clarkie. But once you've got your opportunities and you've got runs on the board like Ange has at major tournaments, winning major trophies, I think that starts to get diluted a bit, because he's now got the experience to know what it's like to coach at the very top level at a World Cup and win an Asian Cup and things like that. So I think that probably is sort of disappearing from the narrative around Ange now. So, look, I've got, and you know, he's smart. He brought in Harry Kewell at Celtic, who's played in the Champions League, played in the Premier League. So, you know, he's got someone next to him who's got that cred, if you like, to sort of add to, you know, the technical staff at Celtic. So, Ange is a very smart operator. He knows exactly how to play the game, how to build his credibility. I've got no doubt that guy will be managing in the Premier League in the not-too-distant future.
Mm. I don't want to harp on it, Mossy, but what happens though if you know, he stays at Celtic and they somehow not fall apart but don't manage to win next year? Does that
that
plays a part then, doesn't it?
Yeah, it would blood his copybook, yeah. Definitely, because
you've always spoken about how he's had great timing, and the timing it'd be perfect now for him to move on, wouldn't it?
I think so. From the outside looking in, definitely. Yeah. But again, it's that magnet of going not deeper into the Champions League, because I think, you know, Celtic, well, Scottish clubs, Celtic or Rangers, whoever's in it, will always struggle to go too deep in the Champions League, because they just don't have top-notch games every week to get them hardened for a competition like that. But he certainly wants to go better than what they did. They didn't get a win in the Champions League last season. So that's a magnet for him to stay. But, the timing looks perfect for him to strike while the iron's hot, make hay while the sun shines. You can bring out all the cliches. Mm.
Well, relegation, that's where I'm looking this weekend. Everton just need to win. And they're hot favourites against Bournemouth. Now, Leicester and Leeds need Everton to falter. Leicester at home to West Ham. Leeds at home to Tottenham this weekend. I think Leicester and Leeds are just going down, aren't they, Bossy?
I think so. I think so. I would have said Everton and Leeds a couple of weeks ago, Mido, but you know, things can change very quickly. It's fascinating, isn't it? The title's one and done. The European Champions League spots are one and done. The Europa's one and done. So all eyes are on the bottom of the table this weekend. I've got, which we'll get to in a moment, but I've got Leicester and Everton to both get up in my multi. But yeah, I can't see anything. Anything's possible. It's amazing what this sort of pressure has done. And we've spoken to, you know, to Robbie Slater in the past, who was in some of these relegation battles during his career over there in England. And, you know, the weight of pressure does funny things to different people. And who knows what's going to happen. It is a real lottery on Monday morning. And every game is played at the same time. I think it's 1:30 a.m. our time. Which is just wonderful when there's so much to play for on the final day of the season. But for me, it's Leeds and Leicester that go down, unfortunately.
And Sunday morning in the very early hours, 1:45 a.m. our time, Coventry and Luton play for a spot in the Premier League. And Luton, $2.30, Coventry, $3.15, the draw, $3.10, the 90-minute mark at Mossy. Have you got a preference of a team you'd like to see back in the big league?
I say this with all apologies to Luton fans, but I'd love to see Coventry back. McAllister, who spent some time there, Liverpool legend, of course. Just an emotional tie to seeing Coventry back in the top flight. What a game that is, though, Mido.
I love watching that game.
Where's that played?
It's Wembley. Brilliant.
Wembley. They always play it at Wembley, don't they? Yeah.
The richest game in world football.
And just the devastation if you lose. Devastation. Yeah. To get all that way and fall at the last hurdle. I mean, it's as raw as it gets, that game. And great to see Greg Quayle score for Hearts last night, the 18-year-old. And also in regards to around, the national team, the Socceroos in Argentina, confirmed to play in Beijing next month.
That's right. Well, let's go to Quayle first, just very quickly, because that's a huge goal for him and his confidence. He really hasn't played a lot of football, but to come off the bench, score a goal like that, it was in injury time to get Hearts a point against Rangers, by the way. So it's not like they were playing, a middle-of-the-table team. It was against a big club at Rangers too. So big, big moment for the young Socceroo. This game against Argentina, I get the commercial reasoning behind it. I'm not a fan, I must say, of playing the World Cup holders in June, given how few of our players will be match fit. Most leagues will have shut down comfortably by then. So the players have got a real job to stay fit, to take on the world's best. And apparently Lionel Messi playing was part of the contract. So the big names will be there for Argentina. It's in China. I don't think it makes much sense from a football point of view. I totally get the commercial value. And when a team like Argentina, World Cup holders, come knocking, say we want a game against you in China, I understand why we said yes. But it's going to be interesting. Graham Arnold's got his work cut out, making sure we can put out a fit and firing squad against the world's best.
That's great respect, though, isn't it, Mossy?
It is, absolutely.
Them taking on a game against Australia, because I'm assuming there'll be a lot of other nations that would love to have that opportunity.
100%, Loz. And I'm not being, I'm not being anything other than having my football manager's cap on when I say say. You can't knock it back. There's no doubt you can't knock that back. And it shows the standing, the credibility that that performance at the World Cup got for us. And I know Arnie was over in Qatar last week and got on really well with Scaloni, the Argentina manager. So that may have had something to do with getting the final signatures on the dotted line for the game.
Okay, we'll do a full preview, obviously, the A-League Grand Final next week. But we need your Premier League or multi or wherever you're going for this weekend, Mossy. What have you got?
Mate, I'm going all in. I'm putting my neck on the line. I'm going a five-legger, Mido. If this one gets up, mate, you won't hear the end of it. I'm going Arsenal to beat Wolves at home, into Manchester City to beat Brentford away, into Crystal Palace to beat Forest at home, into Leicester to beat West Ham at home, into Everton to beat Bournemouth at home. So Arsenal into Manchester City, into Crystal Palace, into Leicester, into Everton.
$10.70 that multi is paying with Tab. You have a great weekend, mate.
You too, guys. Take care.
The Racing League is certainly delivering on its promise of more runners, more winners, and more thrills, and their results have been astonishing. Not only that, you get to buy into these horses after you know they can run and win, like Larrikin Rogue, who we saw win at Scone, is now a big chance in Saturday's $300,000 Fred Best Classic at Eagle Farm. Win that, he gets a golden ticket into the $2 million Stradbroke Handicap. You can still buy into Larrikin Rogue and this winning Queensland Rogues team for just $260. Buy now and own on Saturday. Simply go to trl.net. That's trl.net. Conditions apply. TRL AFSL license 223671. Brad Davidson from Sky Racing. Good morning to you, mate. How are you?
Good morning, guys. How are we?
Very well, thank you. Kovalika with him or going around him for the Queensland Derby?
Look, I think like every other punter in Australia, guys, I've got to be with him. You know, he was super in the Doomben Cup. I've heard some people suggest he's, you know, one of the better bets you'll ever see there at a racetrack on Saturday. I wouldn't go that far simply because, you know, it's all comparative to or relative to the prices they are, you know, that you'll find, in my opinion, better sort of $1.65, $1.70 shots out in sort of some country maidens and races like that where, you know, there's not much opposition and they're the clear standouts. And look, he does look a clear standout again on the weekend, but there's still a couple of little niggles there. He's got obviously back up from the Doomben Cup and the terrific effort there, but also he's got to say that the 2,400 metres, and we know often when they get out to those sort of, you know, staying trips, it's always a little bit of a concern as to whether they will stay. So, you know, there's a couple of little niggles there for sure. He's not over the line by any means, but look, he's clearly the horse to beat. And I did notice though that you know, there were a few stables bullish enough about their chances. John O'Shea labelling Stroke of Luck his best chance of the weekend, and horses like that. So it'll be interesting. But yeah, look, he's going to be the anchor in many multis around the country on the weekend, and a lot of people happy to take the $1.70 short, and looks hard to argue with them. He's going to be extremely hard to beat.
What about in the Kingsford Smith Cup, mate?
Yeah, look, Loz, it's one race I've still got a bit of work to do on this morning, but I will be looking away from the favourite, think about it. I know he's only lost the one race and he looks really progressive, but I'm not sure he's that well suited under the weight scale in this race. I think he's a bit better suited in a Stradbroke. And when you do break it all down, he's got all the upside in the world, sure, but only won a takeover target stakes there first up at Gosford and got a pretty good ride and he only won narrowly. I thought the performance was good, but I didn't think it was outstanding. And, you know, here he lobs in a group one and he's there at $5. So I think he's just priced a little bit too aggressively, considering, you know, the upside factor. But look, he could just continue to win, couldn't he? He's that type of horse and he's in the right stable to continue to improve. But I just think he's been priced a little bit too aggressively there. I think horses like Rothfire in the lead up, terrific. A Case of You hit the line powerfully last time out. And even a horse like Valana, I think he sets up well. And even Converge, you know, he's back off a nice little fresh and he's got a good record at Eagle Farm. And I wouldn't be surprised to see him run a cheeky race fresh there too. So I think there's plenty of angles to that race. And I'm not sure Think About It will start $5 tomorrow. I think you might drift a little bit, personally, but we'll see how that pans out. But shaping up to be a really good betting race to Kingsford Smith tomorrow.
Back at Randwick for the first time since what? All-age stakes day.
Yeah, it's been a little while and nice to, you know, for that track to have a little break. It's always important at this time of the year that those, you know, our major tracks get a chance to recuperate and you know, they do all the work to help the drainage and, you know, air the track out and aerate it and all that stuff. I'm not good with the terminology when it comes to racing tracks. But I think, you know, a pat on the back to the staff there at Randwick. We know early on there in the carnival, I think it was day one of the champs, you know, they got hit by that weather and it turned pretty poor, but it really bounced back well. I think it's fair to say that the club would have been disappointing with the track when that rain hit on race day. But the following two Saturdays, it really bounced back in a big way. And it got rain, but not rain on race day. And that was the difference. And the track played beautifully. So Mike Wood and his team should be commended for that. Getting back onto the rail true there tomorrow. Look, it looks a decent program. It looks tough. Last week, I thought Rosehill was much more clearer. There were some really good standout bets where this week looks a bit, it looks open. It looks one of those days that you want to be kind of shopping a bit wide and specking horses at, you know, 15, 20 to 1 and just hoping that they can run you a good race. It doesn't look to be too many sort of standouts at the shorter odds. It looks to be a race meeting with 4 to 5 hopes in most races. So that's what I'll be doing, looking a bit wider tomorrow and seeing what we can come up with.
What are you coming up with for us?
Yeah, look, race 2, Life Well Lived. For the Bathurst connections there, look, I thought this horse was terrific first up over 1,100 metres. He's back off a throat operation. He started $5.50 in a Tab Highway going back last year and just pulled up with a throat issue there. So, look, he looks to have come back really well. He powered to the line there first up over 1,100. So, could be one run too short, sure, but I think 1,400 second up when he's nice and fresh. He's got a beautiful gait to get to the middle of the track, which is the key at Randwick Rail True. And I just thought they normally go hard in those highways, and he can sit back and hit the line really powerfully. So, look, he's $13 at the moment. He's been 21s into 13s. You might get sort of $15, $16 on race day. So, you know, you could can enact things like the lock there on the Tab app or something like that. You might get a better price late, but I think he'll run us a race at good odds and fits that bill of the horses I'm looking for tomorrow at a bit of odds.
$13 for $4 the place, as Dave mentioned. Race 2, number 7, Life Well Lived in the Tab Highway for Andrew Ryan and Choc Cavallo. Just a quick thought, Dave, before you go on Loz's multi. He's got Methuselah in the first just to run top three. And then he's gone to the Fred Best. Hawaii 5-0 coming off that smashing win in the Horsebury Guineas to run top two there in the race with Yellow Brick, the Fred Best. But Methuselah in particular to run top three. We confident?
Yeah, it looks one of Loz's better multis I've seen. I think Methuselah just needs to jump and we'll be there fighting it out with Bomo Island. I think we'll be definitely running top three. And Hawaii 5-0, hard to sort of not have right in the top of the market, or close to the top of the market there in the Fred Best off that dominant win at Hawkesbury. So it looks a really progressive type and hitting this race at the right time. So I think, Loz, you might be on the money this weekend. Hopefully don't mock you there, but good luck and hopefully get it home.
No, just we need to cool our jets a bit. Just cool our jets a bit.
What does that even mean? What do you even mean by that?
I don't know. Just calm down.
Have a good day, mate. Enjoy.
See you guys. Cheers.